The Edmonton Oilers win what may be the game of the year at Rogers Place on Monday night. But how did they do it? And there are some pretty interesting records to talk about. All that and much more on today's episode of Locked On Oilers.
Your Locked On Oilers, your daily podcast on the Edmonton Oilers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome back to Locked On Oilers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I am your host and former Oilers game day producer, Brett Holden. As mentioned on today's episode, what a game we just saw at Rogers Place. The Edmonton Oilers beat the San Jose Sharks 5-4. With some pretty interesting records throughout the game. We will talk about that in just a second. But also on today's episode, Mattias Ekholm getting on the score sheet twice, as well as Nick Bjugstad getting a goal in this game. So how have the newest additions for the Edmonton Oilers fared over their few games as an Edmonton Oiler? We will talk about that as well. And to wrap up today's episode, as we always do at the end of every Oilers games, the good, the bad, and the ugly from tonight's game against the San Jose Sharks. All that and much more on today's episode of Locked On Oilers. Thank you for making Locked On Oilers your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you find your podcast. Alrighty, let's just get right into it. Could this have been the game of the year? Very, very strong candidate. Certainly the best overtime we have seen in the NHL. But back and forth, 13 total goals in this game, but only 9 of them counted. Yes, 4 goals were called back in this game. 3 for the San Jose Sharks, including the opening goal of the game, and 1 for the Edmonton Oilers. Shockingly, it was a Zach Hyman goal. Yeah, shockingly. But either way, 5-4 for the Oilers in overtime. Darnell Nurse getting the game-winning goal. That is his 4th overtime winner in his career, making it an Edmonton Oilers record for the most overtime goals scored by a defenseman with 4. And that is pretty impressive considering that's also an organization that had Paul Coffey. Yeah, not too bad. But the important thing in this game, there are a couple things to get into in this game. We'll talk about offensively first, and then we'll get into the defensive issues. But a couple of big things in this game as well. Mattias Ekholm also getting 2 goals in this game, meaning the Edmonton Oilers have had 3 different defensemen score at least 2 goals in a single game. That is the first time that has happened since 2005-2006. The team to do that, the 2005-2006 Edmonton Oilers, that had Chris Pronger score 2 goals, Marc-Andre Bergeron score 2 goals, and Boris Mironov, yes, Boris Mironov, scored 2 goals for the Oilers in a game in 2005-2006. That is the last time any team has had 2 defensemen, or 3 defensemen, excuse me, score at least 2 goals in 1 game. Nick Bjugstad also getting a goal in this one. We will talk about both Ekholm and Bjugstad later on, but having both of the new additions getting on the score sheet in the same game, in a game that the Edmonton Oilers, A, needed to win, B, should have won, but C, needed to get the win after being in such a bad position, means the Oilers brought in the right players. Kyler Yamamoto getting his 10th goal of the year as well, and he's been really working on his hand-eye coordination throughout the rest of the season, or throughout this season, which actually led up to this goal for Kyler Yamamoto. A big tip out in front for him ended up really causing issues for James Reimer. I think his glove ended up in some place. I think that was almost sacrilege for Reimer to look that stupid in the net. But either way, Kyler Yamamoto getting his 10th goal of the year. And he was that last kind of player that we were looking at last week from the bottom 6, or the quote-unquote bottom 6, that needed to get at least 10 goals. The Edmonton Edmonton Oilers have him, Warren Fogle, Nick Bjugstad. We can go down the list, Kleem Costin, Derek Ryan. All those players have at least 10 goals for the Edmonton Oilers this year. That is secondary scoring. Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid not getting on the goal sheet, or not getting on the score sheet with the goal, I should say, but they did get two assists each in this one. Connor McDavid bringing his point total up to 136. 136. I am almost sick just saying that. And Leon Draisaitl, not that far, well, pretty far, but not that far behind him with 106 now on the year. And Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, not to be forgotten in this one, 55 assists on the year after he too got two assists in this one. Unfortunately for Zach Hyman, the only one of those three not to join the parade on that, as he got a goal called back. Shocker, he never gets a goal called back. But Jack Campbell, I want to say, I think he had a good game. Not the best game, not a fantastic game, but I will be the first one to bite the bullet and say he had a good game. That scoreline doesn't reflect the type of game that Jack Campbell had. That scoreline, however, reflects the way the Edmonton Oilers played in their own end. And Matthias Ekholm echoed that same sentiment in his post-game interview tonight, saying that he didn't think the Oilers played the best in their own end, didn't think the Oilers played their best game, but they did stick it out and get the win. That is the important part. But we will get to this whole playing this whole game type situation and who the opposition really was. But the Edmonton Oilers need to do better in their own end. And it unfortunately gets on the shoulders, or comes on the shoulders of Jack Campbell. 28 saves on 32 shots. He had a very, very solid game. Made some massive saves down the stretch. That Steven Lorenz goal that he batted out of thin air, not his fault. There are a couple of them. What was that? A one-timer goal for one of the Erik Karlsson goals. Yes, one of the Erik Karlsson goals. Wouldn't blame Jack Campbell on one of those either. Again, you sit here and you go, oh, it's Jack Campbell. The puck went into the net. And all these smooth brain people on Twitter go, stupid. It's just utter stupidity. It's people who like to be Twitter pundits than rather actually watch the game or apply any sort of constructive criticism in any sort of way. They just want to have the top comment and have somebody else agree with them. So Jack Campbell had a very solid outing for the Edmonton Oilers, had a good game, and I think that scoreline doesn't flatter the game that Campbell had. Either way, the Edmonton Oilers improved to 40-23 and 8 on the year, and they have the Arizona Coyotes coming into town next for an 8:30, yes, it's a late 8:30 puck drop at Rogers Place. A little Wednesday night hockey for you flavor. Either way, the Edmonton Oilers couldn't have pulled this game off without their newest players in Nick Bjugstad and Matthias Ekholm. But what have those two players brought to this lineup exactly? We will talk about that in just a second. But first, today's episode is brought to you by Athletic Greens. Today's episode is brought to you by a product I use literally every day. That is AG1 by Athletic Greens. Maybe you're like me and want to be healthy and eat well, but it's a lot easier said than done. It's no longer the case with AG1, however. With one delicious scoop of AG1 in a glass of water each day, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. This special blend of ingredients helps support your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, aging, all of the things. All of the things. And I know it can be hard and expensive to keep track of multiple different supplements and vitamins, not to mention how hard it can be on your stomach, but AG1 costs you less than $3 a day. You're investing in your health, and it's cheaper than your cold brew habit. So right now is the time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/NHL Network. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/NHL Network to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Alrighty, let's get into the new additions for the Edmonton Oilers in Matias Ekholm and Nick Bjugstad. As mentioned in tonight's game against the San Jose Sharks, a goal for Nick Bjugstad, getting the scoring started for the Oilers on Monday night, and Matias Ekholm getting the game-tying goal for the Oilers and also chipping in with another goal in this game. As mentioned, it becomes the third Edmonton Oilers defenseman to score two goals this season, the Edmonton Oilers becoming the first team since 2005-2006 to do such a thing. As mentioned, that was the Oilers back in 05-06 with Pronger, Mironov, and Bergeron. But with some of those defensemen, I mean, Chris Pronger is Chris Pronger. But what Matias Ekholm has brought to the Edmonton Oilers has been much more than what those guys, other than Chris Pronger, brought to the Edmonton Oilers. But very, very, very important for the players around him, more specifically Evan Bouchard. In the 10 games that Matias Ekholm has played with the Edmonton Oilers, all 10 has been right next to Evan Bouchard, and Evan Bouchard's offensive numbers have jumped. A 7.77 goals for per 60 minutes puts Evan Bouchard as the best Edmonton Oiler at five, or in all situations when it comes to goals for per 60 minutes. That is something that Duncan Keith wasn't able to do with the way that Tyson Barry was playing. He was in the way of Evan Bouchard ever doing something like that. And now we have this. A fantastic, fantastic contrast to what Evan Bouchard is in Matias Ekholm. But it's not just about what he's done to Evan Bouchard. It's what he's done to this entire team. Now, in those 10 games that he's been in Edmonton Oilers, 3 goals, 6 assists, 9 points. He's almost a point per game player on the Edmonton Oilers. Could you imagine Matias Ekholm becoming a point per game player for the Edmonton Oilers? But here again is where he makes the Edmonton Oilers better. His GSVA, which is that stat that we've been talking about with the Athletics player cards that they've been posting throughout the year, and that is basically the wins above replacement, or how many wins you actually bring to your team throughout the year. Matias Ekholm has won 2.0 games for the team that he plays for so far this year, and that includes the Nashville Predators and the Edmonton Oilers. That puts him in the 88th percentile in the NHL. There are only 12% of NHL players who are more valuable and have won more games for their team than Matias Ekholm this year. But it doesn't stop there. His goals for per 60 minutes since joining the Edmonton Oilers at 5-on-5 sits at a 6.07, which is first on the Edmonton Oilers. His goals against per 60 minutes at 5-on-5 sits at a 1.87, second on the Edmonton Oilers behind none other than Devin Shore. But again, it doesn't stop there. His goals for per 60 minutes in all situations sits at a 6.54, which would be good for fifth on the Edmonton Oilers behind Evan Bouchard, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, Connor McDavid, and Leon Draisaitl. That is impressive. That is something that Tyson Barry was not able to do for the Edmonton Oilers, and nothing against Tyson Barry. Literally the least amount of shade towards Tyson Barry. But Matias Ekholm has been, and probably is right now, the Edmonton Oilers' number one defenseman. But he wasn't the only acquisition the Edmonton Oilers brought in during the trade deadline period. Let's be real. It wasn't trade deadline day. It was trade deadline week. But Nick Bjugstad also became an Edmonton Oiler, and in his 8 games as an Edmonton Oiler, 3 goals, 1 assist, 4 points. Now, it doesn't sound very impressive off the top. This year, Nick Bjugstad has 16 goals, which is more than Jonathan Huberdeau. I'm sorry, Flames fans. I don't mean to let you catch a stray. Actually, I'm kidding. It's Battle of Alberta. You have to. But his goals against per 60 minutes, so defensively, since joining the Edmonton Oilers, sits at a 2.47 in all situations, which is third best on the Edmonton Oilers. His goals against per 60 minutes at 5-on-5 sits at a 2.3, which is fourth best on the Edmonton Oilers. His face-off wins, which you may remember in his first game as an Edmonton Oiler, he went 10 for 10 in the faceoff dot, making or creating, recording an Edmonton Oilers record at the faceoff dot, going a full 10-0 at the faceoff dot. Now, his faceoff win sits with 41 third on the Edmonton Oilers, only behind Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, who will take insane amount of faceoffs. But that's not the impressive thing. His face-off differential, so how many face-offs he wins compared to how many he loses, sits tops on the Edmonton Oilers with plus 12. His defensive differential as well, this goes back to the Athletics player cards, sits at a 7.4 defensive differential, putting him in the 83rd percentile in the NHL. Nick Bjugstad and Matias Ekholm are not only doing it offensively or in the neutral zone for the Edmonton Oilers, they're doing it defensively. They're doing it in the faceoff dot. They're doing it in all different types of situations. And this Edmonton Oilers team has become a brand new team for the Oilers. At any given point, the Edmonton Oilers are able to scratch, and it may not be a positive or negative thing, but this shows the depth the Edmonton Oilers have. Once Dylan Holloway gets healthy, the Edmonton Oilers are going to have to figure out a way to either integrate him, or he's going to be a healthy scratch for the Oilers. Or there's a Clem Costin who can come out of the lineup, which has been, he scored 10 goals already for the Edmonton Oilers this year. Devin Shore has been fantastic for the Oilers down the stretch. Derek Ryan may also come out of the lineup. He's also been fantastic for the Edmonton Oilers. Ryan McLeod didn't even play in this game. He can also be added to this roster. Vincent Desharnais was a healthy scratch in this game, and he's also been a fantastic defenseman for the Edmonton Oilers. A couple of tough games for him down the stretch here, but good to see him maybe get a game up top to see just how much time he has, that type of thing. Philip Broberg as well. The Edmonton Oilers are a scary team, and a lot of that has to do with as of March 1st, when the Edmonton Oilers acquired Matias Ekholm, and a couple days later, acquired Nick Bjugstad. Alrighty, let's wrap up today's episode with the good, the bad, and the ugly from tonight's game against the San Jose Sharks. But first, today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Looking for a delicious treat, but don't want all the fat and calories? Then you gotta try Built Bar. Look, it's through March, we're almost into April, and you better be sticking with those New Year's resolutions. And I personally am, because I wanted to eat a little healthier this year. And to get that, I didn't want to sacrifice taste. Taste is a very important thing to me. I don't feel like eating cardboard. But that is perfectly attainable with Built. I don't understand how they do it, but healthy is actually tasty. Seriously, they are so delicious. You won't think they are good for you. Perfect for that New Year's resolution that's still poking its head out 4 months later. Either way, what makes built so good? Well, probably the 100% real chocolate that they use, plus all their undeniably delicious flavors on top of that 100% real chocolate, including coconut almond. You got to get peanut butter brownie. I was getting to the peanut butter brownie, trust me. Even churro, there are so many delicious flavors by Built Bar that you can find. If you have a participating Walmart or Sam's Club around you, you can find a box of Built Bars over there. Either way, you can thank me later. Alrighty, let's wrap up today's episode with the good, the bad, and the ugly from tonight's game against the San Jose Sharks. The first being the game. The game itself was an absolute banger. Back and forth all game. If you were a neutral, you loved it. The underdog Sharks getting the goals. They were leading all game. Then all of a sudden, near the end of it, the Edmonton Oilers started to turn it on in the third period. Big saves from James Reimer and Jack Campbell. The Edmonton Oilers, the stars were out. Nick Bjugstad getting a goal as well. Matthias Ekholm getting two. It was just everything you could possibly imagine in a good, good hockey game, and you got it. The good in this game being, well, the game in general. The bad being the defense for the Edmonton Oilers. Look, we talked about it earlier, and everybody is going to quickly go on Twitter and use their Twitter thumbs to say, Jack Campbell had a bad game. Shut up. Watch the game. Because if you actually did watch the game, you would realize in half of those goals, well, I guess there's four of them, in three of those four goals, the Edmonton Oilers left somebody wide open. Wide open. They forgot about Erik Karlsson at one point, who is the best offensive defenseman in the league. You sat there and looked sloppy over and over and over again, and I feel bad for Jack, who's trying to get some sort of confidence because the Edmonton Oilers just left him out to dry. That one pad save by Jack Campbell that led to a big rebound to him, that wasn't on Jack Campbell. Everybody's going to go, oh, look at that ugly rebound, blah, blah, blah. First of all, you clearly haven't played goaltender or been in a position that has been anywhere near a goaltending situation. Because you need to realize that what Jack Campbell did there was actually nearly perfect. It's called foot positioning or whatever it may be. Like, you sit here and you go, oh, Jack Campbell, really bad. But you don't realize the different things that Jack Campbell actually did that absolutely pulled that horrendous defense out of the gutter and the Edmonton Oilers out of the gutter. So the bad being the defense, not Jack Campbell. If you say Jack Campbell, then you're a smooth brain. Ugly being the fact that it was an absolute slugfest with the San Jose Sharks. This is a team who is in the race for Bedard, the tank for Bedard, the be bad for Bedard, whatever you want to call this race. I don't know. The Oilers haven't been there in a couple years, so we don't have to nickname lottery races. Either way, you can't have a slugfest against the San Jose Sharks when you're trying to be a favorite in the Western Conference. It can't be done. It makes for fantastic hockey and fantastic television, and it makes me riled up just sitting there thinking of the game. And imagine the amount of neutrals who had no stake in this game whatsoever watching that game. It was a great game, but for the Edmonton Oilers and to be able to take a step back and say the Edmonton Oilers need points, blah, 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 especially after the Los Angeles Kings scored 8 goals against the Flames, but you can't have a slugfest against the San Jose Sharks. So the good, the bad, and the ugly from tonight's game against the San Jose Sharks, the good being the game, as it was probably game of the year. The bad being the defense. It wasn't Jack Campbell. The defense was horrendous in front of him. And the ugly being an absolute slugfest against San Jose. You could almost say the ugly being the game too, because it wasn't pretty. Either way, let's wrap up today's episode on that note. A massive win for the Edmonton Oilers as they win their 40th game of the year. And they look to improve on that win record or win streak even as the Arizona Coyotes come into town on Wednesday night. 8:30 puck drop at Rogers Place. That one should be a banger as well. Either way, until then, hopefully after this absolute banger of a game in itself, you can all absolutely blast La Bamba, baby.